This is It Just Takes One. One person, one experience, one idea, one moment to change your life. Here's what's coming up on today's show.
That's why I chose to write it. It was the hardest, craziest thing I've ever done. And I remember people saying, I don't know how you're doing that. How you're so brave, which was kind of a double-handed compliment, if you will. It was like, yes, they're trying to be encouraging, but then they're just heightening my anxiety. Like, they would never do something like that. I'm out of my mind.
A few months ago, I had an opportunity to sit down again with Heather Deffenbaugh. Heather is the author of a beautiful book called From Ashes to Beauty, How a Child of Two Mentally Ill Parents Went from Surviving to Thriving. We published that book with Heather a couple of years ago. And if you look back in the podcast, we actually did a beautiful podcast interview with her back on episode number 50. And in that episode, she talks about why she decided to write the book and why now was the time to do it. And she describes a lot of the vulnerability and the process of writing and how it can become very emotional, especially when you're sharing the most difficult, challenging parts of your life story. So I encourage you to go back and listen to episode 50. But in the meantime, Heather has gone on to get the book out into the world. She has had a lot of interesting experiences happen with her book, and she decided to go on and record it as an audiobook. So I asked her to come back on to the podcast because I thought it might be interesting for some of you who have maybe wanted to write a book and not sure where to begin or what that process looks like. But also for any of you who have published a book and have thought about maybe doing an audiobook version, Heather describes the process and she talks about what that part of the journey was like and what it ends up being when you get a chance to hear yourself reading your book on Audible. So it's a great dive into the Audible book processing and what that means, but it's also a great reminder of a book that is something that I think, although not all of us have experienced what Heather went through in her life, we can certainly relate to the experiences and we can feel it with her as she shares it. So I'm going to step back and let Heather take it from here. Join me in welcoming Heather Deffenbaugh back to the podcast. Heather, it is so great to have you back on the podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Kelly. I'm so excited to be here with you as always.
I feel the same way. Every time I get a chance to talk to you, I always light up because we have such great, deep conversations.
We do, I know.
So I have no doubt this will go in that direction as well. But I wanted to be able to share the biggest news that's come out recently about you and to give you a chance to talk a little bit about the next stage of your process as an author. But before we get into that, let's just catch everybody up. So if they haven't heard your podcast before, they haven't been following you, let's share a little bit about you and about your book, From Ashes to Beauty, and we can talk about what your experience has been like with that book. So start off by just giving us a little bit of your background.
Well, the book is about, it's a memoir, so it's about my life, and it's about how I grew up with two mentally ill parents. From the time that I can remember, I was my dad had schizophrenia when I was born, and then my mom's illness really didn't come into its full-blown state until I was about 11. So even though I know I can look back on retrospect and see that she was grappling with it early on. So it's the story of how I went from surviving that tumultuous traumatic childhood and raising my brother and trying to find my faith in the whole thing and where is God in all of this and avoiding, you know, disastrous decisions, still made a lot of tough choices along the way. But how did I come into thriving? And the purpose in sharing my story was to help people that have been through so much trauma and or maybe stuck in it now, and how they can actually see purpose in their pain and thrive in spite of their circumstances. So I felt the calling to write my story for about 20 years, and I just kept, you know, denying it. And so it's kind of neat, because in the first podcast we did, I think I do talk about how you and I met, and I came to know Scriptor Publishing Group and how it all came to fruition. So it was definitely God opening doors, but me choosing to walk through them and move forward. I think that God does that for everybody. There's always, like, you know, there's so many little blessings and little opportunities that we just don't take out of fear or doubt or our inner critic being so, so loud. What if we fail? That's usually the biggest, I think, deterrent from us taking advantage of an opportunity. What if I fail? What if I do it wrong? And it's just the pain of that is worse than the unknown of what could happen. So that is, I embarked on the journey, and it all started, I think we signed in 2019 of November. I started writing February of 2020, and the pandemic hit. So then, of course, you know, everybody was going through, you know, lots of different trauma, and mine was heightened because I was opening the portals of my life that were buried so deep. Some of them, I was like, did that really happen? You know, I think it's, you know, it's so amazing how we develop all these defense mechanisms to survive. And so as I opened them, I started shutting them really quick. And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. I can't do this. I'm going to write a book on fitness. So a little bit about my background now. I've been a fitness instructor for 34 years. I'm a holistic nutritionist. I love helping people in the wellness department, and really now more about wholeness. It used to be all about fitness and physical fitness, and now it's about emotional and mental health and spiritual health and physiological health, what's happening in our bodies, you know, our hormones and just our gut health and our blood sugar and our insulin and all those kinds of things. So writing the book really solidified how important wholeness is and healing from trauma, and how that really has a direct effect on all the other wellness departments. So that's why I chose to write it. It was the hardest, craziest thing I've ever done. And I remember people saying, I don't know how you're doing that, how you're so brave, which was kind of a double-handed compliment, if you will. It was like, yes, they're trying to be encouraging, but then they're just heightening my anxiety. Like, they would never do something like that. I'm out of my mind.
What am I thinking?
So that's the, yeah, I started doubting. Oh, I went through so much doubt, and, you know, just our 2-year process, and you and I having the opportunity, you able to coach me and me starting therapy and things like that obviously helped me along the way, with a really strong family support system and an inner circle of friends that were amazing, and a Bible study that was amazing, and people praying for me. So just, so, you know, God orchestrated everything to come together to see the book to fruition. And then it launched May of 2022. So it's been a little over a year now. The book became a bestseller in like 48 hours on Amazon. That was incredible. And since then, it's my mission, my why was, if I could just help one person on their journey that has been stuck or has been buried in just pain and operating out of their trauma and just haven't been able to move forward. They have broken relationships. They are in a perpetual cycle of anxiety and maybe even depression or PTSD, which is mine. I always say it's funny because the therapist that I have now, we joke together a lot how, you know, I'm very open about it. Yeah, of course I have PTSD, and I have complex PTSD and probably some OCD and OPP. Yeah, you know me, you know, it's the whole.
Pick any acronym and I'm probably there.
It's there, but I have really great coping mechanisms, very healthy coping mechanisms, fitness being one of them. I started up boxing a year ago, which the funny thing is, the analogy that I use in the book is that I was in a boxing ring for 40 years, you know, just in constant fight or flight, reacting to everything, you know, very emotions, very heightened. And, you know, so I finally retired the gloves, and then I actually went and picked them up physically and started boxing. And it has been the most incredible relief, because the one thing I didn't know about boxing until I got really into it, it's very much about regulation, regulating emotions, being strategic, and being an intelligent boxer, not a reactive, you know, you get popped in the face and you're just going to flail and go at it. And that's, you know, when life hits us hard, we either fight, right? We freeze or we flee. And so just learning those reactions and what's healthy and what is going to help me thrive instead of take several steps back. So that it's all intertwined. And so that's been really exciting to see the fruit of the book, and mostly the people that I've helped. I've had a lot of people reach out. In today's world, they don't write you letters. They send you emails or direct messages on Instagram. I get a lot of DMs on Instagram and DMs on Facebook. So I kind of had to make myself public so that I can hear those things. And that has been incredibly rewarding. Like I said, I wanted to help just one person. I said that in my video trailer. And it's just been numerous, dozens and dozens. I haven't kept track, but I do respond to every one of them, you know, in time I respond to every one of them. And that is just, that fills my soul. I'm like, this was the why, and there, this is the purpose and the pain. So it's, you know, I'm growing. I continue to grow every year. That's the goal. This side of heaven, I don't think we ever stop growing.
So. Great. Completely agree. So many things in there that you brought up, and congratulations. It's been just over a year that the book came out. But like you said, we started this process together back in 2019, and you started it 20 years ago when you first had the germ of an idea that maybe there was a story to be shared here. And the process that you went through to get that book out, as you've described, was profound. So I just want to say congratulations on that success.
Thank you.
Before we talk about the next iteration of the book, I'm curious, because I do know that you've had an impact. You've talked about these people sharing that the book has helped them and provided hope. From where you stood in the middle of the book writing process to now, can you share maybe some of the ways that you've changed, or something in there that has made you, I mean, are you in a different place? And what is that change in you from where you were before the book came out to where you are now?
Oh yeah. I have a lot more peace. I am not full of shame the way that I was prior to the book. So there was, and I didn't even know what it was, but there were certain things about my background that I just didn't want people to know, which is most of us, you know, that have had, if you have had sexual abuse, or you've been molested, or you've been physically abused, or you went through a really toxic relationship with somebody, or you have mentally ill parents or mentally ill brother or sister or even child, there's so much shame that it's something you did, something you didn't do. You take on all the blame, and you feel like a lot of it's your fault, especially if you were sexually abused at a young age, because there's a lot intertwined in that that I have since learned about. So one of the things is I understand it more, and I see that it's very universal. So if you talk to other survivors, they have the same thing. You know, they might have experienced things at a very young age that they shouldn't have, maybe arousal or certain things that you're just like, oh my gosh. Well, there's actual clinical terms that go along with what that means for sexually abused children and how to work through that so that you can have a healthy, productive sexual life in your adult life, in your marriage, and it will play into those things. So we just kind of disregard all of that. So it's definitely helped in all those areas for me, right? Without going into detail, but it's helped into all those areas. But the shame has been the main thing. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it. So the things that I write about in the book, and remember when we were writing certain chapters, and I would share things with you that I had never shared with anybody except for my husband. So, and you would always say, this does not have to be in the book. Let's write about it. Let's talk about it. And if you decide at some point, I can't put that in, then we don't put it in. And that process of writing about it and talking about it peels back the layers, all of the stifling layers of being ashamed of it, fearful, it just peels back. And all of a sudden you get to the truth of the matter, the heart of the matter. And so that has been significant, but you cannot get there without peeling the layers and walking through it. There's no pill. There's no quick fix. So I did the work. I did the therapy. I wrote the book. I talked about it. I cried. I had days where I couldn't pick myself up off the floor. And that is, so there's a freedom and a peace in that. So that's one thing that's resulted, this freedom, this newfound freedom, this peace, and being an advocate for it. Like, wow, because I did this, I can help, 100,000 other people. And then look who they can help. It's a ripple effect. So the fact that I can make an impact is a bigger blessing than me even getting healed myself. That's how I feel, because I'm an empath and I love to help people. So I'll typically take the crumb if I can hand out the buffet to other people. I'm learning to eat more than the crumb now these days. I'm like, I think I want a piece of the pie. I don't just want the crumb. I deserve it.
You deserve it. Yeah. That is such a major statement that you made. And I think it's really important to just pause for a moment on that, that idea that we take on a lot of shame and blame and embarrassment and all of that in our lives because of all the things that we don't want the world to know and all the things that we're not happy with that happened with us or to us in our life. And it can get very toxic. Shame can become very, very toxic and create all kinds of other issues. Lots of other issues. So the fact that, first of all, that you worked through it, congratulations again on that, but the writing being the tool, one of the tools, not the only tool, because you did do other things, but having the writing be a tool is, I guess I would just want to pause on that, because if you're a listener out there and you know this feeling and you understand shame or trauma and you feel that toxicity within you, I just want to encourage you to write. Just write, because even in a journal, even if nobody ever reads it, even if you write it and then tear it up, the process is so cathartic. And Heather, I think that's exactly what you experienced.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And I thought, I was done writing it and there was so much excitement surrounding it and then the release of it. And that was very overwhelming. And so many people reading it and posting about it, and they're reading it on their vacations and on the plane and in their rooms and with their dog. And, and it was really neat because every time they would tag me, I'd put it on my story too. And then other people would hear about it. And they're like, oh, my sister in Illinois is reading it. And, she shared it with her, there was like little book clubs and whatnot. And so it was really amazing. And I think one of the most profound surprises for me was I thought there was going to be such a gasp of some of the things I went through. Now there were a couple of readers that actually messaged me and said, I'm really glad that your subtitle is, how you went from surviving to thriving, because I am so frustrated and I'm so angry and I can't believe you went through all of this. I'm waiting to see what happens. I'm on the edge of my seat. Otherwise, I just would throw this book across the room.
So, I wanted to know the ending so that they didn't have to hold that frustration.
Better. And I'm like, just go on my Instagram and look at my life and go, it gets better. But that's the point. It's like, yeah, I had to write the hard stuff. So that was surprising. But the other surprising was the majority, I would say like 90%, celebrated the victory of overcoming so much trauma and how I, and that I gave them the tools and showed them that this wasn't an easy thing, but how I stepped through it and how the trauma affected my behavior and my behavior in my adult life. They got to understand that because they walked through the childhood with me and they loved the music and the culture, how I brought out the culture of the 80s and even the culture of the early 90s and the music and how it matched. And I'm like, that's unbelievable. So it was just so neat to hear all of that. But I thought the emphasis was going to be like the gasp was going to be on some of the trauma. Like when I go into detail about some of the things that I went through and that were done onto me, or episodes that my mom went through, the hospital visit, all the craziness in there. And you know, one of my most fearful parts of some of the stuff that happened in junior high to me, there was such a, either it was just such an incredible blanket of respect that nobody went into those areas and said, oh my God, like that, you had that happened at 13. And nobody really went into that. Everyone was just overall, this was such a good book. This was so inspiring. And that like protected my heart. Like, okay. Because I thought like, oh, it's all out there. You know, let me go on a remote island somewhere. But this book,
nowhere to hide now.
Gosh,
I think that's so interesting. And it goes to what I hear in that, or what I think from that is you were writing a book about your story. But at some point you were worried about it because it is about you, but you didn't want it to be about you. It was always about wanting to write for other people. And how do I share my story and not make it about me? Because it's not about me. And what I hear is that you succeeded.
Yes.
Because what they got is the piece that they're looking for. They want to overcome. We all do. We all want hope, no matter what our circumstance, even if it isn't as crazy as what you went through, or it's crazy in a different way. We all are wanting to thrive. We all want that hope. And so if that's what they're honing in on, it tells me that you did exactly what you wanted to do.
That was probably the most impactful for me, like in my heart, my soul, I would just like well up in tears as people who actually shared over a dozen that they started therapy because of my journey that they started to. The other one was that they finally told somebody about some of their things. Some of them just shared it with me. They just went into detail about their trauma and they said, I've never shared this. You're the first person, you know? And I'm like, that's where it starts, you know, and you are loved and your identity is not defined by what happened to you. Your identity is not defined by what you were born into, you know, whether you were abandoned in a trash can from day one, you know, or you were neglected and abused, or you were used, or that's not your identity. And then there was a lot that said they reconnected with God. Mm-hmm. You know, I have one girl say, I opened my Bible for the first time in 20 years. I've always had it by my bedside as like protection, but I actually opened it. So that was awesome. So there's just been really cool things like that, you know, very specific, wonderful things. And then the other is just that people felt seen. So they didn't feel alone. And that was my biggest thing. That's my biggest injury is abandonment. Abandonment is the root of all my stuff. So feeling alone, there's a difference between like alone time, which is really great. We love our alone time. We like to just have our space, connect with nature and everything. And then there's loneliness. And that is the worst. And so I was a very lonely kid and adolescent, even though I had people around me in school, it was, you know, my life was lonely. And a lot of times I went home to an empty home and, you know, I had nobody to turn to when some of the most heinous things were going on. So that I want other people to know they're not alone. So when they tell me they feel connection and they feel seen and they feel heard, that I was able to do that through the bravery and courage of sharing my story, it makes it all worth it. And I have to go back to that a lot because sometimes I can still, as we'll talk about here in a minute with the Audible, I went through that feeling again because having to read it out loud was a whole new experience. And then I had to listen to myself all 12 and a half hours. It's like, oh my God, this is torture.
So let's just leap right into that, because I was thinking as I listened to you speak, you and I've had this conversation several times. I'm a voice person. I love to listen to people's voices. And I said to you from the very first time we met that you have a beautiful speaking voice and just a beautiful a way of speaking. And I think listeners, if you've been listening and watching here for a few minutes, you can see what I'm talking about, that, you know, Heather, that's just one of your gifts. And so now you got a chance to use your voice in a whole new way by taking your book and recording it and making it an audiobook on Audible. And I love for you to share that process. We have a lot of authors that come to us that are very interested in doing Audible and doing an audiobook. And because we know it's the fastest growing segment in the publishing industry, people are listening to things much more now and, mm-hmm. you know, really want to have that as a way to consume information. So talk us, pun fully intended, talk us through what it was like to record your audiobook.
Wow. I'll start with wow. It was, you know, it was such a brand new experience because I didn't know what to expect. First of all, I worked with an amazing production company. My producer was great. And the fun thing about it was, I mean, fun, kind of like ha ha, not ha ha, is that he didn't read my book. So he hadn't read the book, and which is not a prerequisite, of course, for a producer to do your Audible. They don't have to have read it. They're very, very good at sound and piecing together and things like that. So I didn't expect to be in a sound booth. So I was in this isolated sound booth that was probably like a supersize phone booth, if you will. It's pretty tiny little cubicle, but you're sealed. You walk into this door, it seals. For me, there was a big like monitor with my whole book on display. And then there was like an iPad, and there was like four speakers on me, you know, and a place to put my drink. And I'm sure every studio is different. I don't know. This is my first Audible, but this was to really isolate sound. So it's not like I kind of visioned like the way a recording studio looks like when you're recording an album, that there would be that big glass partition and you would see each other. And that's different acoustics. You know, you're trying to pick up here. You're only trying to isolate a voice. So it just was different. He's like, no. This is how we do it, you know, for this. So I had to deal with my claustrophobia a little bit, being boxed in. I don't like being stifled or boxed in or anything like that. Another trauma response. So I got to actually work that out. So that was one aspect of it. It was great because I didn't have to have the headphones on, because that feels like you're underwater. So I got to just speak it. And I had to get a groove. So I had to give myself permission to mess up or to be nervous and my voice to be a little shaky in the beginning. And as I just, it's like a keep moving forward kind of thing. As I started to read it, there's several things happening. One, I'm trying to articulate and read well. So cadence and comprehension need to really come together, right? And then two, I'm like, you're reading your story out loud. And as I'm reading it out loud, luckily I cannot hear my producer on the other side unless he turns on the mic to talk to me. So it's funny because, you know, you hear this flawlessness that as you listen to the book, but everything that goes into it is like writing. It's like, you have no, you know, if they knew how many things we edited and did the whole process, it's so gnarly. Same thing with the Audible. So it's kind of goes through the same process. And there's times where you'd be interrupted and he'd say, can you say that again? And I knew where I would mess up. I got so good at it. I'd be like, take two. Totally fumbled on that word. And he's like, yep, didn't even have to tell you. And you start developing a flow, kind of like writing. It you got to start, and it's a little bit, you know, messy as you begin to start. And then all of a sudden it begins to flow. So I started telling the stories and I found myself going through the emotions. Like there were parts where I couldn't get through because I was laughing so hard. And then we took a break and then he's laughing. And then I find my producer going, So that's wild. So what happened to so-and-so then after? And I'm like, oh no, you got to wait till chapter 17. You don't get to know anything. But he wanted to know. He was like, oh my God, get back in the booth. I got to hear what happens. It was kind of cool because he was so captivated. He was so captivated by it. And he said, it's like watching a Netflix movie you want to binge on. It's like a show. I want to binge on all the episodes.
That's such a testament, right? I mean, that's validation. Yeah. The book is did exactly what you needed it to do. So compelling.
I know it was. And I'm like, oh yeah, we haven't gotten to the hard stuff yet. Part two is the hardest part of the book. The book is in four parts. It's about 50 chapters. Now we did not do chapters. You and I did not do chat. We kept it more like a movie, if you will, you know, through. There's part one, part two, part three, part four. And within each part, there's, you know, we didn't chapter it with numbers. You know, we just did titles of it. In an Audible, you have to have chapters. And so it's because you have to be able to go in it physically and go to this one, go to that one. So it's just the way it's structured. So we put chapters to everything. And so that's when I started connecting chapters to it. But it was really a emotional roller coaster. So there was some really fun parts and funny parts and endearing parts and me kind of loving my parents again and seeing my brother young and seeing me young. And really loving on myself young. Like there were parts I would come out and I'm like, oh, she was just so precious, you know, this cute little 7-year-old that like, so it's to love yourself and go back and see yourself as like, you were precious. You were, you know, these things were not supposed to happen. And you need to know that. It's actually something many therapists try to, that's one of their biggest things to get you to do is your adult self to love your younger self for healing. So I saw that come out in reading all the early parts of the book and then my adolescent parts of the book. And then out comes Heather the badass. And, you know, she's still there completely. So, but you kind of see how she became one, you know, like I'm like, okay, I make sense to myself in so many ways. And that is the real fruit of the labor. Like I would have never have experienced this about myself had I not gone through all of that. So reading it out loud, I was a little nervous because I'm reading it to a producer who's never heard it before. So now I'm going to walk out and face him after I just read about, you know, sexual abuse and, you know, I won't give anything away, but as you get into part two, that's where it gets really heavy. So and he was, he got emotional. He got emotional a couple of times and he's not a big emotional person. You know, he's kind of a dry, sarcastic sense of humor, kind of an engineering type, you know, if you're listening, Corin, I love you. This is all compliments. I don't want to think you're the best producer. Yes. So it was
cathartic again, but in a different way.
Correct. Yeah. In a different way. I think it really is a neat thing to do, especially if you write a memoir. I know I was doing some research in Audible to see how many people actually spoke their narrated their own book if they wrote a memoir. And several did, but there were a few who didn't, who chose not to, and that have very big bestsellers. And I think it's painful. It's hard. Like you finish writing it and you're like, oh, I did it. Close that chapter. Anybody who has written a book, especially a memoir, it's your life. It's really, really difficult. Like when we came out with the second book and What's Next, and I got to be part of that collaboration, that was just a beautiful breeze.
A walk in the park in comparison.
A walk in the park. I got to write about my expertise, fitness. I mean, I can talk about that all day. And that is where I shine is in my passion and what I'm trained in and what I know well and how I can help people. But to talk about vulnerability and be transparent about trauma, well, who does that? You know, and I think now in this, we are now in an era where mental health is at the center and focus. Of everybody's talking about it, everybody's going through it. COVID brought that out. which is one of the good things. There's always something good that's brought out in a tragedy, right? And so that has put it on the map, and there's discussions about it everywhere. And so the timing was perfect, and that makes it a lot easier too. So that's why so many people are identifying with it. But I can understand why after reading it. And I kind of thought, "Woo, we did it, we're done." And then, you know, he gets it all, takes about 4 weeks, you know, for him to splice everything. This, I mean, there's so many things. There's sounds, you know. Did I burp? Did I make a sound? Did I this
in the wrong way or loudly or cough?
Right? You every sound is captured. So every swallow, and so you have to, you know, and that can be annoying if you're, I've heard some audibles where I'm like, "Ooh, who did the sound check on that?" You know, we want to fix those sounds in the background so they're not distracting from the story. So there's a lot of technical stuff that, you know, we did retakes on. And then he handed it to me in a Dropbox file and said, "Okay, I need you to listen to the whole thing and make sure there's no mistakes." And I'm like, "I have to listen to all of this? I don't know why it didn't occur to me that he was going to do all of that." But he said, "No, I need your approval. You know, I just, like, I had to read through the book, and, you know, you did, and we had a copyright editor on it and another editor on it and if several set of eyes on it, but, you know, and then I put other eyes on it too. I farmed it out to 3 other people, and we still found a few mistakes that we'll have to talk about later.
Yeah, we can fix those. No problem at all. Let me know. That happens, everyone. You know, that happens, especially in a big book. Because even when you have multiple eyes on it, things, we read over things so quickly, our brains just process quickly. So that's also one of the great reasons to self-publish a book, because it happens in every book. You can read books published by anybody and you'll find them. But when you're self-published, it's an easy fix.
Such an easy fix. And it's, I know, self-publishing to me is the only way to go. Plus I own the rights to it. So, you know, if it ever does become a movie or it ever does become, it's a beautiful thing. I was just thinking about, I don't know, you know, everybody knows the Tracy Chapman song, Fast Car. We all love, it's just such an amazing song, you know, about escaping, you know, poverty and a life that you think you can never have, that you want to go after and you want to have, and you want to feel alive. And Luke Combs just redid it. And it's like number one on the country charts, but Tracy Chapman owns the rights to all of it, to everything. I was reading an article about it and how she loves that it's being re-celebrated in the country. You know, this is her baby. And, but it's really neat that she got to be part of how it was going to be distributed, or how, you know, the whole thing, because it is her heart and her baby. So I kind of thought of that, like, that's the special part about it. Is you never know. She never knew. This song came out in like 1989 or something. I mean, it was a long time ago. I remember listening to it being like 20 years old, just like loving it. And here we are. It's huge again. So it's kind of like the book will always be alive. Now the Audible is there. You never know what's going to happen in a decade from now or 5 years. And I think my son said something really amazing and very profound, as he said, "Mom, you've already accomplished it all. Like, it doesn't matter if the Audible becomes this crazy bestseller, or somebody hears it and they want to make a movie out of it or a Netflix show or whatever." He's like, "The fact that you did it, that you carried it to completion and then made an Audible out of it, you left a legacy for your kids and your grandkids and their kids." I think, what I wouldn't have done to hear my mom's story and then hear it in her voice, or my dad, or grandparent, you know, because I'd learn a lot about myself too. So I'm giving them this gift through that, and my voice. So that made all, I kept thinking that, like, remember what you're giving, the gift you're giving by speaking it, and you're healing, even though it's hard. Even though it's hard, you still have healing. That was another surprise, like the pockets of healing that I didn't realize I still had to do. So that came out and reading it and then listening to it was probably the most joyous part. I know. I was surprised. In the very beginning, I cringed. It's always very cringy when you hear your own voice, right? So in the beginning, I'm like, ooh, and I'm looking for mistakes. The inner critic, she starts getting really loud to try to find any any mistake or weird voice inflection or, oh, you sounded weird there. But then I just listened and it almost became like I was listening to somebody else's story. I was like, wow, you know, just, I was captivated just kind of hearing, and then I'm laughing and I'm smiling. And I was listening to it with my husband a lot. And we just both be, you know, feeling things. Or I remember one time there's a really hard part and his eyes got welled up with tears and he just grabs my hand and holds it. And I'm like, you've heard the story 100 times and you're still affected that way by it. It's just crazy, you know, but
it's so many layers of it, right? Just so many layers. And the, yeah, the audible adding this extra piece. I love that. So listeners, check it out. It's on Audible, From Ashes to Beauty, Heather Deffenbaugh. You can get her book to go with it. But Heather, I want to talk a little bit about what's next for you. And, you know, you've gone through a lot and you have a whole new perspective now from what you've gone through. What is next on your plate? Where would you like to go next?
I mean, I would like to continue fostering the potential of this story, of this book. I always saw myself like doing a TED Talks or speaking to a very large group, you know, whether I'm speaking in a church or I'm speaking at a convention or an arena or something, but I'd like to use the gift that the Lord has given me, the gift of teaching and the gift of speaking and articulation and connection. I'm an empath. I have to regulate that because I'm such an empath that I can dive in headfirst to just help one person and put all my energy into that. I have to learn that I can plant seeds and I can be, but I can't save the world. But just doing one thing can be impactful. So I'm learning that along the way, but I'd like to be able to utilize that and continue to share my story. I see myself going on more podcasts, but I really see myself hosting my own and having the opportunity to integrate, you know, my story in with what I do is fitness and wellness and you know, health and all of that area. So longevity is kind of more my goal now. It used to be, you know, all about being fit and, you know, all of us crazy fitness instructors and how we are, but now there's an appreciation. It's so much more than that, you know? And so I've developed 5 pillars of wellness, this program that I've been curating, which kind of got put on hold because of the audible. It's very difficult to do all of this at once. Like right after my book launched and I had the book signing and everything was happening, the what's next opportunity came. And now I'm like down in San Diego and I'm with, you know, with a bunch of authors and I'm writing another, you know, I'm writing a chapter in this book and then I'm promoting that book. And then the holidays came and then I started kind of curating like digital content and like, okay, how do I want to kind of form my Instagram? So I developed the 5 pillars of wellness, developing a website, putting that together. And then the opportunity, the audible came. So that was a huge undertaking, probably like 6 months. It's a big undertaking to do, especially my book. If you have a book that's long, I thought mine was going to be 15 hours. It ends up being like 12 hours and 40 minutes, something which I was very pleased because looking at other ones, some are 16 hours, some are 15. So it all is based on the amount of pages your book is and what you're reading. And then Audible decides the price on it and everything. They do it a little bit differently than Amazon. But that aspect of it with the Audible is really exciting because I have people that said, God, I read your book. I just don't read. I listen. So it's going to hit a whole new audience. So I want to take the opportunity to, now that I have the book and there's resources, they can go to the website, you know, for that, is I want to develop, whether it's an app, something that can encompass the 5 pillars where people can really try to balance their mental health, their emotional health, physical health, physiological health, and spiritual health. So I feel like those 5 are what anchor a person and get them on the path to wholeness. When one is off, you got to give it some love. And I don't think all 5 are going to be thriving at once for the rest of your life. I think it's a balancing act. So it's not like, oh, I'm on Thrive Mountain. I'm killing it.
Everything is great.
A day on Thrive Mountain, but woo, I got days in the valley and days in the depths of the pit. And it's learning to balance that. It's learning to find community, a community that is authentic and loving and celebrates your good things. And you loving yourself, really loving yourself, but holding yourself accountable. I think there's a fine line. Right now there's this whole you do you, but then there's no accountability. You know, you can be a jerk and do you. So it's like, yeah, no, there needs to be a level of accountability and love and respect for other people and understanding, even though it's not your bed of pain, you know, it's theirs. You know, pain is pain. It's universal. Trauma is trauma. And even though I've been through, you know, craziness, I would never compare. When my kids go through trauma, they had a beautiful life, loving parents, but they had their own trauma, whether it was in high school or a toxic, you know, relationship with a girlfriend or whatever. It's, you know, when I was not healthy in my younger years, I would have been like, ugh, you don't know what trauma is. That's nothing. You're lucky. That is not a good thing. That is gaslighting somebody. And I learned that. I had to learn that through my own healing. So that's what I hope, because I think through the through healing, even through like my five pillars and everything, people can really have more thriving relationships, like moms and daughters can, and spouses can, and you can have it with your sibling that you really don't get along with. You can learn how to love people where they're at with healthy boundaries.
Excellent. Well, I think all of those things are in your future without a doubt. There's so much ahead for you. If people would like to follow you so they can see you as you continue to expand your five pillars and even just your stories and your element of hope that you leave and give people, how can they best follow you?
You can go on my Instagram, which is all lowercase Heather_Deffenbaugh. It's public. Also my website, heatherdeffenbaugh.com, which is in process of being revamped. So it's there, the basics and the bones are there, but there will be a lot more there. You'll have an opportunity to sign up for a weekly newsletter and really be part of these things that I'm talking about right now and on how to help people really tap into those five pillars and foster them and thrive. And so my goal on the Instagram eventually is to really just kind of have that focus around that. You'll see a lot of my fun personal life and things like that, but I do love to share the good things. So those are the two best places. I do have a Facebook, but I feel like Instagram tends to be the easier spot for people. Cause you don't have necessarily follow me if you don't. I'd love you to, but you could always just peek in there too. So
absolutely. And we definitely encourage you to at least peek, but follow if this is with you for sure. I'll make sure all of that gets in the show notes. Are there any last words of advice if there is somebody out there who is contemplating, you know, back like 20 years ago when you were contemplating the idea of writing a book, any last minute advice for somebody who has that seed of thought in their mind and they're not sure if they want to go forward?
Yeah, I would for sure, like what you said, begin journaling, begin writing out your thoughts, begin with, we began with a little mind map, which I thought was a great idea. So you've got the nucleus. What story do you want to tell? Start there, get a whiteboard, get a piece of paper, just a regular computer size sheet of paper, put the nucleus of what's your story. So mine was, you know, my memoir, my like, well, why? And I started putting extensions of that out, you know, things that I had been through, things that I had overcome, and then more extensions out. Now, pretty soon I had this whole, now I had chapters. So those little extensions is almost like a family tree, you know, that you're birthing from that nucleus. So I think that's a good idea when you have that idea in your head of what you want to write about and start branching it out and then develop these little chapters and then start journaling the, you know, title them something. Before you know it, you've got some kind of a manuscript. You've got something there. And then contact Scriptor Publishing Group. That would be, and because it does take a little village, you know, you don't do it completely alone. God will put people in your path to encourage you, but you got to keep moving forward. And I got stuck for like 3-4 months and I just kind of froze And then I came back to it. And one of the big ones was, you know, like record listening. I would listen to podcasts. I would listen to, like, if somebody is listening to this and this is inspiring you right now, listen to it again as you start writing. Go back and remember, like, go walk your dog and put your, you know, headphones in and listen and get inspired. Because every time I would listen to someone else's podcast or another author, or even our Zoom chats that I would record, I would listen to it and I'd come back and I would just be pumped and I'd start writing and then let it flow. And know what kind of writer, go with what works for you. I am not the most organized. I am all over the place. I probably have ADD on top of the OPP and everything else I said. So I had a million post-its. I had a million post-its. And every time I had a thought, I grabbed a piece of paper and write the thought down and I would just pile them up. So I had all these papers, different colors, different shapes, different sizes with thoughts. And then I would put them all out and I'd start slowly organizing them. And it's just kind of how it worked for me. And I'm really good under pressure and I'm a procrastinator. So when I start writing, I would spend 6 hours because I get the flow and I wouldn't stop. So just make sure to take a break to eat, because I wasn't very good.
There's that wellness component coming in.
Yeah, wellness component. There it is. Eat, hydrate.
Well, it's so true. And it's a really good point, because it is different for everybody. You know, you have to know what works for you. And sometimes it's a little trial and error to get to the flow, but tapping into whatever your rhythm is a really good piece of advice.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to listen to the Audible. I actually downloaded it this morning, so I will be listening to it as I do my exercise. I love to listen to podcasts and Audible books when I'm working out. So I will be listening to you. Your voice will be in my ear, which I love. And congratulations on all of it.
Oh, thank you, Kelly.
All right. Much more to come. And if you are interested in following Heather, please, please check out what she's doing, because I think there's great things ahead. Heather, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I always enjoy talking with Heather, and I hope as you listen to that episode, it showed you how powerful a book can be. Heather wrote a very personal memoir, and there were times when she struggled with the challenges that came with writing it. But now, several months since that book has been out, she can already see the impact that it's having. Just think about that. Your story can actually be used to help somebody else. And maybe you'll learn about how you helped somebody or how it impacted somebody, because they'll let you know or you'll see it. But then think about how many times you might share your story or your book and you'll never know who bought it or who read it or what they got from it. But you know that that ripple effect is still happening. So Heather's a great example of that. I thought she did a beautiful job sharing some of the successes that she's had with the book, but also talking about the audiobook. And I'll tell you, if you're like me, I love to listen to Audible books when I'm working out. And it's like an accompaniment, like a friend in my ear when I'm out for a run or doing a workout in the gym. But maybe you just enjoy an audiobook when you're riding in the car, or maybe you've thought about doing an audiobook and you didn't know where to begin. If any of that applies to you, please touch base with me. I'd love to talk with you about it, answer your questions. Certainly, we can help you with that process if you're interested, but I'd love to have that conversation. So if any of that interests you, hop over to scriptorpublishinggroup.com and set up a consult call with me and we can talk further. In the meantime, I hope you will all head over to Audible. I'll put the link in the show notes below and connect with Heather and listen to her beautiful telling of the story From Ashes to Beauty. That's it for me for today. If you have any questions or you know anyone who's interested in writing a book, you know where to find us. We'd love to help people go from dream to published.